Sometimes you feel like you got caught in the middle of a story and want to know a little bit of what preceded before you understand what happened there at that seashore. So I just want to kind of do a quick overview, one of those last week's episodes, and today we start. That's sort of what we're going to go through this morning, but we're going to go a little bit beyond last week. So Jesus began his official ministry when he was in the waters with John, and the skies opened and the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, and God said, "This is my beloved, my son, with whom I am well pleased." And from there, the Holy Spirit whisked him off into the desert where he was tempted for 40 days, and Holy Spirit and the angels ministered to him until he came out of the desert and began his Spirit-filled ministry in Galilee and beyond, proclaiming John's message of repentance, proclaiming that the good news had come when God would save God's people. In a last week or a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that then he showed up at Nazareth and spoke those same words of Isaiah in the midst of his hometown temple. People were amazed at what he said, and it was there that he said, "And the time is now that God's kingdom is here on earth." And his hometown people weren't quite pleased with what he did, so they tried to throw him off a cliff. And the Holy Spirit moved him through the crowd and kept him safe. And then he continued to do healing throughout Galilee until he came to Simon's mother-in-law's home. And Simon's mother-in-law wasn't well. And Jesus went into the home and healed her. And she began to cook and prepare for food because of the healing that Christ had done. From there, he continued to preach in synagogues. And you can imagine, as he was preaching and doing healing, that the crowds began to get bigger and bigger and were following him day after day after day. And then he comes to this lake. And he's there standing beside the lake, and the people have come and gathered and want to hear his word. And there on the shore are these fishermen. It's nighttime. They're checking their nets to see where the holes are, to see why it had been such. They might have been a little bit sad because they'd spent a whole day with nothing to show for it. They would not have any food, any fish to bring to the market. They wouldn't have any way to make money that particular next day. So they were probably a bit downcast, but one of them he knew because he had healed his mother-in-law. It was Simon. And he says to Simon, who's probably very grateful for the gift of healing and the gift of this man in his life, he says, "Simon, I need to speak to these people, but I can't from here because it's sort of like everyone's Charles Thompson and they're all really tall and I can't see anyone behind him." So he says, "Will you take me out in your boat so I can speak to everybody?" And Simon says, "Sure." Tired as he is, he takes Jesus out in his boat. And Jesus sits down and he begins to teach them. And hopefully no one's fallen asleep by the time he finishes his teaching. But he realizes he's got a crowd there. So he says, "Simon, lay down your nets. We're going to catch some fish." Now, those of you who fish, about this time, if you had just spent a whole day in those waters and hadn't caught anything, what would you be thinking about Jesus' request? No way. I know there's no fish here. I sweat all day long trying to find some fish here. We don't need to lay down our nets. But that's not what Simon says. Simon does tell him it had not been a very productive day, but if you ask, I'll do it. And he lays down his nets. And then the abundance comes. The abundance comes because he follows Jesus' commands. The abundance so great that they have to haul in the next boat. They call it from shore. And everybody's gathering all this fish. Now, personally, I think he did this because he had to feed all those people who were on the shore. They had been there all day. They were hungry. He was making sure they had food. They had bounty. They had bounty. And then, did you notice in this particular telling of the scripture, he doesn't say, "Come and follow me"? This is what he says, what Luke tells us he says. "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." He doesn't invite them to do it. He already knows that they are going with him. And he explains to them where they're going. And when they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. They left their livelihood. They left their community. They left everything they knew. They left all the assurances of what their life was like to follow Jesus. Now, we just listened to Gwen talk about the prophet Isaiah and the word that that prophet was going to have to bring to a people, that God was going to lay waste to everything. When we make the decision to follow Christ, sometimes we have to follow Christ into places we don't want to go, or to say things we don't really want to say to people who might do us harm when we say them. But if we think only of ourselves and what that means to us, then we are going to run into trouble in that call, aren't we? When the call is Carolyn-powered, Carolyn's certainly going to find a ditch to fall into. If the call is Carolyn-powered, she's certainly going to manage to go the wrong way with her GPS, because it's all on my power. But think about what happened when they went fishing with Jesus. When they fished on their own, they caught nothing. But when they fished with Jesus, they caught an abundance of fish. When we step into God's call and do things in God's time, under God's power, with the power of the Holy Spirit, God will bring God's abundance. But when the church, or when we individually choose to go one way or another, and it's not God's way, we're going to be wrecked upon shore or have holy empty nets. But when we go the way God calls us to go, it means we have to let go of a whole lot of things that we're sure of. Maybe our community. Maybe our old way of doing things. Maybe the things that just made us feel comfortable, like that really good recliner that you know it has really reclined its last moment, but you just don't want to give it up for that new recliner that you're going to have to break in again because it's hard and it's all the things that a new recliner is, and maybe it's automated and you're going to push yourself out because you hit the button wrong. When we have to go Christ's way, we have to let go of the things that keep us secure and comfortable, because the one who's got a hold of us, the one who has a hold of our hearts, will make sure where we go that he goes before us. So we don't need to be afraid. Isn't that what he says? Do not be afraid. We don't need to be afraid about where God is calling us to go, or who God is calling us to be, because they were fishermen, right? And now God was calling them to be disciples. God was calling them to be apostles. God was calling them to lead his church. God was calling them to go to places that they had never expected to go. And Simon Peter had a family. He had a mother-in-law. He left it all behind and followed Jesus. So when we're afraid to go where God is calling us, I think we need to stop for a moment, get in a boat, and go fishing with Jesus. Or maybe to go fishing with Mac, because I've seen some pictures lately that Mac gets quite a bit of abundance of fish when he goes fishing. But he goes fishing with Jesus. If we go fishing with the Lord, we never know where he's going to lead us. But we do know that there are people who are lost, people who are lonely, people who think that they're not really worth being caught, that they're going to be one of those throwbacks, that we're going to think that they're not even worth our time. There are people everywhere who need to know that they are beloved by God. And it may be our neighbor across the way. It may be our neighbor next door. It may be the stranger down the street. It may be a coworker who sits in the cubicle beside us. We never know who needs to know about Jesus and his love. Because remember, two things happened with Isaiah and with Simon. When the coal went on Isaiah's mouth, he was cleansed of his unworthiness. And when Peter saw the bounty, he knelt before the Lord and said, "I am unworthy." Both repented and were healed. Healing happens when we get into the presence of Jesus. And when we fish with Jesus, imagine how much healing can happen in the world. So, you've been called to be fisher people. And there's not a single one you have to clean, because God will clean them up. We just need to love them just as they are, just as we find them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.